better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
I was watching Californication yesterday before the MLB draft, and I was thinking, I'll wait 20 or so minutes heading into this because Heston's probably not going to be drafted until like the 7, 8, 9, 10 mark. And so my roommate comes back from his job and he's like, hey, can we flip on the MLB draft? And I was like, all right, that's fine. I mean, I'll wait a little bit. We'll see some of these names, some guys that I've heard of that have played in the SEC that will get drafted, other guys that I had no idea who they were. And then, out of the blue, the second pick, as Rob Manfred gets up to the podium and says Heston Kerstad has been drafted. Regardless of what MLB draft site you look at, who you listen to as far as MLB analysts are, the college analysts, no one, and I mean no one, had Heston going number two except the Baltimore Orioles and that organization. And after that happened, after he was drafted, not only did you see the excitement from his family and friends in his draft room, in his house or apartment or whatever, then just it exploded on Twitter from Razorback fans. And it comes back to one person, Dave Van Horn. Dave Van Horn, consistent, tried and true, and you're so happy to have him as the head baseball coach at the University of Arkansas. This is the Morning Rush. He's Tommy Kraft. I'm Ty Richardson. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text. And we're all streaming live on hitthatline.com. You can find our video stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you have a smart speaker, just say play ESPN Arkansas. We're also on the TuneIn app as well. We'll get Tom Murphy's reaction about Heston getting drafted number two overall coming up at 7:15, and then talk recruiting with Richard Davenport on a Recruiting Thursday, which is brought to you by Breeden RV. Things are really heating up right now at Breeden RV, and it's time for their annual trade-up event going on through June the 30th. Trade up and get $5,000. Yes, $5,000 over NADA trade-in value. Trade up and take advantage of rock-bottom prices on all new, used travel trailers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes. You can trade up and get free maintenance for life on everything new. Breeden RV will also take care of your service needs on all makes and models. Shop today right now online at BreedenRV.com and then come see Ransom again between Van Buren and Alma on Alma Highway. That's Breeden RV, where adventures begin. Did you watch it last night?
I was not watching. I'm like you. I mean, didn't expect him to be taken that early. I guess if we had listened to maybe some clues Dave Van Horn was given a day or two ago, we might have realized he could have gone ahead of what we thought. But no, I mean, I got the news on Twitter just like the rest of it. And Laura says, you going to watch any more of the draft? I'm like, not really a reason to for me now. The guy I wanted to watch is already gone. So, I mean, quick work of it. But what a great surprise and a great uplift for Razorback fans, but certainly for Heston Kerstad first and foremost. My thought, and we were kind of texting, the three of us and Phil and guys here at the station, the shortened season helped him. I mean, because how can you go in? I mean, obviously you go number one, but I mean, he went higher than expected. The risk of playing more season, the risk of injury, the risk of the shortened season. How can you say anything other than this? The time he had in that month and everything he's done in the previous seasons, everything he's done in summer leagues, everything he's done and all the, he lived on that and it was enough. And anything of a longer season, I'm of the belief, I have nothing to back it up, just an opinion, if he'd have paid a full season, might not have been drafted, probably wouldn't have been drafted that high.
Batted over 400, had a 16-game hitting streak. I mean, really just showed out at the beginning of the season. The only thing that, as Arkansas fans, unfortunately, is you didn't get to see him in postseason this year. That was the thing that you wanted. He talked about last night, and we'll get in some audio coming up, the this team's the teams that were on back-to-back College World Series, which has never been done in the history of Razorback baseball. Well, this team, I know they started out, they didn't start out great. They went down to Houston, and lost those three games against Oklahoma, Texas, and forgetting the other team in that series. But there was an impression like there is under
Missouri.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was
there was an impression that, as there is often with Dave Van Horn teams, that they would figure out and potentially get back to another College World Series. Unfortunately, even though the shortened season helped them, we as Razorback fans did not see what could have been the end to a great career for Heston Kerstad.
And he was definitely going to be one of the leaders on the team. There's no guarantee this team was going to make even a super regional. I think they were a regional team. You know, the way this team played left you with a lot of question marks about what kind of postseason they were going to have. But nonetheless, what he did in the month or so of baseball they had was enough to turn heads.
It was Baylor. That was the other team we forgot.
Baylor, you're
right.
Three Big 12 teams. Missouri was the other SEC team.
But so for those who didn't
LSU,
hear,
Arkansas, Missouri,
for those who didn't hear what Heston's draft call sounded like last night, here's Rob Manfred when he got up to the podium.
With the second pick of the 2020 MLB draft, the Baltimore Orioles select Heston Kerstad, an outfielder from the University of Arkansas.
So Manfred got his name right, but Baltimore's SID on the Zoom call did not last night. Yeah. He said Heston Kerstad or something. Yeah. He said it wrong. I just laughed at that because as a commissioner, whether it's Adam Silver, whether it's Roger Goodell, whether it's Rob Manfred, their job is hard enough in itself on their day-to-day business activities. But with the addition of, oh, by the way, now you have to memorize however many names heading up to the MLB draft. Luckily, because we've had I don't think it was Manfred, but I don't remember if it was Bud Selig, but you remember how bad they butchered Andrew Benintendi's name?
Yeah, I remember
that. It was like Andrew Benintendi, like they just absolutely.
Well, that wasn't
like,
that many years ago. It was 2015.
And you're sitting up there, and you're an Arkansas guy. You're sitting up there, it's like, come on. Like, this guy just got drafted seventh overall, and you're just like, man, they just butchered his name bad. But Manfred got it, and the Baltimore Orioles, they got a player.
The check will still cash. So, I mean, I guess Kerstad
can. His check's going to be a big one, too.
He can still live with it. But great night last night. And I'm going to tell you, this is a great night for Dave Van Horn for recruiting because this was a flex move when this was over.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you talk about signaling to every recruit, the ones you've signed upcoming, and the ones down the road. Also to the guys on your team about thinking about, you know, should I stay or go to a Casey Opitz kind of guy? Not that Opitz would ever go number two, but just the point that we've always talked about. What do these guys want to do? They want to play in the pros. They want to get paid to play baseball for most of their 20s, maybe into their 30s. Coming to Arkansas will lift your value. Clearly, Dave Van Horn and this program have the trust of Major League Baseball franchises because they continually keep taking players in the first, second, third round. And another selection in the first round and the second highest overall, Jeff King went number one overall back in 1986. So second highest drafted. I think McReynolds was sixth or seventh overall, and then kind of keep going down the list from there. But second highest ever drafted. Yeah, Benintendi was seventh, and McReynolds was sixth.
Yep.
So you just keep going down the list. Second highest ever drafted Razorback in program history.
And the ninth Razorback ever to be drafted in the first round, the sixth over under Dave Van Horn. So it just shows you the track record of success that Dave Van Horn has had. And here's another statistic that should blow your mind, and we'll bring it up later in the program. Heston Kerstad, when he was drafted out of high school, he was drafted in the 36th round to the Seattle Mariners. Since then, he has risen 35 rounds and 1,083 draft picks. Let's put that in perspective. Uh-huh. 35 rounds and over 1,000 draft picks. Now, Dave Van Horn can't sit in every living room with the high school kid who's on the brink of, hey, I'm just going to go straight to the MLB out of college, or out of high school, excuse me. But this is a, as you mentioned, a magnificent recruiting tool. Look what I did for Heston Kerstad. This was a guy that was drafted in the 36th round. I got him to the number two overall pick. What a recruiting tool for Dave Van Horn.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
So if you go to hitthatline.com right now, top of the page, there is a TV Dads button, and we are doing this TV Dads bracket, if you haven't heard about it yet. There are 16 dads listed from a bunch of really good TV shows, and we don't have them seated or anything. They're just kind of pitted against each other, but they are as follows. Andy Taylor from The Andy Griffith Show going up against Mike Brady of The Brady Bunch. Homer Simpson of The Simpsons taking on Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights. Red Foreman taking on That 70s Show taking on Peter Griffin from Family Guy. Stephen Keaton from Family Ties taking on Danny Tanner from Full House. Carl Winslow from Family Matters taking on Ward Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver. Frank Costanza of Seinfeld versus Tim Taylor of Home Improvement. Uncle Phil of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air taking on Hal Wilkerson of Malcolm in the Middle. And then George Lopez of The George Lopez Show taking on Al Bundy with Married and Children. And all of it is presented by Southern Tire Mart.
Now, Southern Tire Mart is your place for quality Michelin and BF Goodrich tires and the best-in-class service. It's all at Southern Tire Mart, where you can get what you need, and oil changes start at $29.95. It's at Southern Tire Mart, 540 and exit 14, or see them online at stmtires.com. So who do you think of those dads, those TV dads, is receiving the most votes? Who do you think right now would be dominating their matchup more than anyone else?
I think Al Bundy is going to be pretty tough to beat. Now, my favorite is Red Foreman from That 70s Show. And there's a bunch, again, there's a bunch of really good ones on this list.
Right.
Some shows that I've watched more than others, but it's going to be entertaining. I would be surprised if Al Bundy didn't make it to the championship or win it. That's my opinion on
that. When I looked at this early yesterday, Al Bundy was trailing George Lopez.
But oh, wow.
He made a return. He's got a pretty good lead over George Lopez now. The biggest lead, though, is Andy Taylor over Mike Brady, which surprises me the size of this lead right now. And I mean, because this is a dominating lead at this point. So like 90% to 10%.
First round voting goes through next Monday. So you have all until next week to vote on the first round, yeah. Which again, the matchups, go to hitthatline.com. You'll see the TV Dads icon right next to our Gaston's Father's Day giveaway icon, which you can also enter in as well. Then the second round is going to end the 17th on that Wednesday, and then we'll announce the winner on Friday, next Friday, June the 19th, of who wins the TV Dads bracket. So you asked me, in my opinion, who is probably going to be pretty tough to beat. I said Al Bundy, Married with Children. Who are you going with?
I think Andy Taylor's going to be the one that's tough to beat, because that show has been shown. I mean, every generation listening, other than maybe my kids, has seen some. The Andy Griffith Show has just been on syndication forever. I mean, it was. I don't even think it was new when my dad was around. I mean, I guess it was when he was a kid, because it was in the 50s and 60s. But just because that show has been in syndication for 60 years and so many people have seen it, that's going to be hard to beat.
It's a really good show. And again, there's some great ones on this list. We threw in two animated ones in Homer Simpson and Peter Griffin, because I think those are two that all people also really enjoy. To me, you know what's really cool about this is, for those who have watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, do you remember this? Did you watch that show growing up?
Okay,
do you remember the scene where Will Smith is crying because, like, his father, and this is not the actor that plays his father in the show is not actually his real father, because
his uncle.
Yeah. Well, the guy that plays the father in the show is not his actual real father. I'm referring to the guy that came in for the couple episodes. So, in his real life, Will was not. He was raised by his mom and not raised in a single father. And so, in the show, I've read this, he was supposed to brush it off, like when his dad left, like that was what the script said, that was what his line said, but then he gets really emotional and starts going off not verbatim, what do you call it when they go off script? What's the improv? Yeah, he goes improv, and then
ad lib was what I was gonna say.
And then Uncle Philip grabs him, hugs him, and that's like one of the most emotional scenes of any TV show because it was real. Because Will Smith actually didn't have a father growing up. And so it was really cool to see how Uncle Phil reacted to that in the show. But really, a great list of TV dads. Again, go to hitthatline.com. It's on the button. It's at the top of the page. It just says TV dads, and you can vote on our TV dads bracket.
Yeah, just something fun to do. There's a couple contests on there. We'll be telling you about the other Father's Day giveaway with Gaston's later on in the show. We'll get back to Heston Kerstad. We're brought to you by World of Wireless, 877-305-DISH. Two-year price guarantee right now with World of Wireless. They got the new location next door to Frank Row Furniture in Barling. It's right at the light, right next door to them. They're also now a Google Home store. So Google Nest, Google cameras, anything for home automation that Google does with their Nest and their Hub and all these things, they can now do and install for you with World of Wireless. Check it out. Plus Dish, they're a premier Dish dealer. Two-year price guarantee and a $100 Visa gift card. 877-305-DISH for WOW, World of Wireless.
A lot of great sound bites from Heston Kerstad last night. Got an email from Michael Minshew, who's the Arkansas baseball SID, that said Heston Kerstad was going to be having a Zoom call with everyone. And one of the more important things that he said on the Zoom call last night was the question I asked him about Dave Van Horn. For those that weren't listening to the first segment, I listed out the statistic that Heston was drafted in the 36th round back out of high school by the Seattle Mariners. Since then, he has risen over 35 rounds and over 1,000 draft picks to be number two overall. And he credits that to Dave Van Horn.
He took a chance on me when I was just a high schooler, gave me an offer, a scholarship to come play at his great program. And, you know, I'll always be thankful for that. And, you know, while I was there, he took such good care of me, whether it was helping me reach a new level or helping me with whatever I needed. He was always there, and he was a father figure there for me, in my opinion, for all of us when we're away from home. And there's no other college coach in the country I would ever want to play for than Dave Van Horn.
I mean, you think about the consistency that he showed since arriving to campus. SEC Freshman of the Year, helps get that team to the College World Series, then backs it up with a really good sophomore campaign. And then this past season, 16-game hitting streak to start, batting over 400. The guy is as lethal as it gets, has the power, is a lefty, and a big part of the reason of his development is the guy he just referred to, Dave Van Horn.
Yeah, and you know, we mentioned earlier just the stats that Dave have had now, what, the sixth first rounder with Dave, ninth overall program history, second highest ever Razorback drafted as far as the second position overall. Jeff King was number one in 86. To me, this is just how you continue to build the program if you're Dave Van Horn, because you got evidence, hard evidence of what you just led this segment with. Here's a kid that was 36th out of high school, 36th round taken by Seattle. He invests the time and the development. Dave Van Horn and this program have the facilities and the know-how to do, which is, I believe, better development. You're probably going to get in rookie ball, A ball, where you're in the pros at that point. It's not the big leagues, but you're professionally playing baseball for a check, and they don't have the facilities and the travel and the way of life that you're going to get at Arkansas. That investment of time, that decision. I mean, his signing bonus is going to be nearly $8 million, 7.8 or whatever I saw last night is what that position is kind of slotted for. You think it was a good decision professionally and financially? Of course. I mean, here's just another way to convince future recruits or kids on your roster that are thinking about maybe not coming back for a fourth year. Hey, here's why you might want to stick around Dave Van Horn's program.
And on the note of his signing bonus, I know that Dominique Fletcher, his former teammate at the U of A, was joking, hey, congrats, get this guy to the bigs. Oh, yeah, by the way, you have dinners now.
Yeah,
you're buying those with the money that Heston is going to be making. And it's just wild to me, the money that was made last night. And you talk about the development aspect. I saw Chris Burke, who is a baseball analyst for ESPN, tweet that's out last night. Seven of the first-round draft picks, the first seven, were college players. Not high school players, college players. That shows not only the development that you saw from Dave Van Horn and his guys at Arkansas, but college baseball coaches know what they're doing. There's a reason behind. Listen, if you're an absolute stud, like, for example, Kumar Rocker, who's a pitcher for the Vanderbilt Commodores, was going to be a projected top 10 pick coming out of high school. Incredible. His mom? Nope, you're going to school. You're getting a Vanderbilt education, and you're going to play for Tim Corbin. But there are guys that are going to be drafted, like a Bryce Harper or some just absolute other studs that have played high school baseball and played travel baseball and stuff. They're going to get drafted like first round or whatever. If you don't want to go to college for that, I completely understand it. But a guy in like Hessen's case, where you were drafted out of high school, but you're 36 overall, and so many others that were picked last night, college, that was just, those are perfect examples to showcase, hey, if I go to a competent baseball program with a coach that knows what he's doing, my stock's going to go up. Well,
and the fact that you play in the Southeastern Conference, all the baseball insiders, are, and I've heard Clay talk about this a number of times when he's talked to scouts and other people, they believe SEC baseball, professional baseball people, MLB people, the SEC is equivalent to double-A ball. So essentially, you get to come in and prove yourself at what the people evaluating you believe is equivalent to double-A. So they know if you can hack it and you can handle it in the SEC West and you're a standout, you know, I don't know how it won't take him long to get to double-A ball, probably triple-A ball, very shortly whenever their structure for minor league ball resumes. That's how you climb up to the pros within a year or so, like Benintendi did. What Andrew spent, what, a year or something like that in minor league ball before he was on the big league roster? You know, I would assume Heston's going to have maybe even a faster rise to the big league roster. But that's how you do it, because you've proven yourself at what's equivalent to a double-A level for a couple of years now.
One of the things that I learned and really kind of supplemented my knowledge with SEC baseball early on doing the show with Phil was constantly, and Phil's a baseball guy, his knowledge seems unsurpassing when it comes to this subject. He pointed out, Ty, you know SEC baseball is better than SEC football, right? It's like, no way, that can't be true. This is just your baseball bias. The more you study the analytics, the more you study the titles, the more you study the coaches, it's actually true. Not to diminish what SEC football has been the last couple years, because we know the juggernauts that have come out of that conference, but SEC baseball is the real deal. For example, last night, 9 players in the first round were drafted out of the SEC. 5 of the first 11, 3 of the top 5.
Yeah, which no conference has ever had 3 of the first 5.
And doesn't, I mean, that does not come close. And you mentioned the minor league cool stuff. There's a connection within the Baltimore Orioles organization, and that's your former dominant Friday night pitcher. It's Blaine Knight. Blaine called Heston a couple days ago, then called him this morning, then called him yesterday morning, and then called him after he was drafted last night. Heston's really excited to be back in the same organization as the former Arkansas pitcher.
He actually gave me a call this morning, and he wanted to wish me luck, and he was just telling me, enjoy it, embrace the moment. You're going to remember that day for the rest of your life. And he was like, good luck. He's like, wherever you go, you'll be in a great place. And then actually, like 30 minutes ago, he gave me a call. I answered it, and he was pumped, and you know, I'm pumped too to be back on a team with Blaine. We got along great while I was at Arkansas, and you know, we're both talking about playing on the same team again soon and how we're both looking forward to it.
I don't know how much of a mentor Blaine Knight was to Heston Kjerstad, but if you remember, Blaine was a junior when Heston was a freshman.
Yeah.
And so you have the upperclassmen kind of bringing in the lowerclassmen. They would do press conferences together. They'd be seen just having fun in the dugout and stuff. So there seems to be a solid relationship there. And when you venture off into a place that you've never been or the next level of competition, which Heston is doing, it's nice to have someone you know from your past there. Unfortunately, another player is also there, Adley Rushman, who was drafted number 1 overall, the former Oregon State catcher. So I'm guessing Adley's going to give, he's probably going to rib or jab Heston a little bit about what happened in 2017. Just a little.
Maybe.
Not too much. But, just a little.
You know, I just wonder if Blaine knew anything. It seems like from Dave may have been tipped off that this could have happened. I wonder if Blaine Knight had any knowledge. My guess would be no, that a player within the organization has no clue what their draft board looks like, but they sure had a lot of contact there, and I think it's cool to maybe have a team, if you're not a big fan of one team or another, you know, if you just want to adopt a team. I don't think there's a lot of people that don't like the Orioles here for a lot of reasons, but hey, this be a great way to adopt a team that's got a couple of Razorbacks.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And listen, when a Razorback ends up at an organization, regardless if you had any connection to it previously or if you did like them. Also, that the tie changes a little bit because you're like, oh, well, I love this guy, so I can't hate this team anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't not care about this team anymore because the guy I used to love, that being Heston Kerstad, that being Blaine Knight, well, they're playing there now, so I have to have some tie or allegiance to that. Back to his Arkansas memories, Heston was asked about, hey, what do you want your legacy to be with Arkansas fans? Here's how he answered that last night.
It's probably the same memories that I'll remember for my legacy there. And it's the two trips to Omaha we made. You know, those were unreal. Those team accomplishments we're able to do together and being able to jump on top of a dog pile at the end of the season to clinch that was an unreal feeling. And also to be a part of the first two teams that were able to go back to back in the rich history of Arkansas Razorback baseball. You know, that's something I'll never forget. And I want all the Arkansas fans to always remember.
We brought this up earlier. This team might not have gone back to Omaha, but from an individual standpoint, Tommy, Heston could have won the Golden Spikes.
Yeah.
He could have been the second guy in Razorback history, like Andrew Benintendi, to win that award. Now, we don't know because he only got in 16 games, which he got a hit in every single game he participated in this season, was batting over 400. But not only you're missing out on the potential to three-peat back to Omaha, which I don't know if that would happen, but just the individual aspect, we didn't get to see him go after slash win an award that he could have deserved.
And whether who knows how the season would have played out, how Arkansas' season would have been. You got to remember that team that Benintendi was on didn't have a great regular season. He won it, but they ended up in the College World Series because they got hot late. They went 0-2 at that College World Series. But and it was a good Razorback team. It wasn't one of the great Razorback teams. But I think he definitely would have been in the mix for that. So my point was, even if Arkansas' season was off a little bit, his individual numbers were going to stand out to a point to put him in the mix to win that award.
So you heard him talk about David Horn giving him a chance to play for his great program. I think Heston was being very humble because he was still a good baseball player out of high school. You don't get drafted out of high school. Nope. Now, he wasn't a top or premier, or like one of the top 10, 5 high school prospects like some of the other kids that he went up against, but he does feel like he still has a chip on his shoulder. He felt like he had it in Arkansas. Now he feels like he has it at the Baltimore Orioles because it was an odd pick for the Orioles. Not in the sense that it was odd to us because we've seen Heston Kerstad. We know what he can do behind the plate, but a lot of Baltimore Oriole fans and a lot of MLB people were questioning. It's like, you drafted pretty high. Austin Martin sitting there, standout Vanderbilt player. Asa Lacy, standout Texas A&M pitcher. Why are you going after this guy? So he feels like he has a chip on his shoulder and something to prove.
I always have something to prove every time I go out there on the field, and I'm just going to keep playing baseball how I always have, because when I went to Arkansas, you know, there was a lot of people that thought I shouldn't have been there. When I started as a freshman, they thought I shouldn't have started as a freshman, and I proved them wrong. And then same sophomore year, they thought it was 1 year luck and proved that wrong. So, you know, it's just another thing, and people can just sit back and watch, and I'll keep doing my thing. And I'm pretty sure I'll slowly change a lot of minds, and they'll realize why my name was called so early if they don't understand now.
Even drafted second overall, even all of his accomplishments through the U of A, he still feels like there's pressure on him, especially because he was drafted a lot higher than expected by the Baltimore Orioles.
What we learned from watching The Last Dance, that even the greatest of all times, and Heston's not the greatest of all time, even they find ways to put chips on their shoulder, find things to motivate them. This may be one of those things that drives and fuels that motivation. Everybody's wired a little different. So, hey, believe me, they pay attention to the chatter. They know what's going on. And, his statement there to open that soundbite, I've always got something to prove when you go out every day. You got to find a way to fuel that desire and that motivation. And, you know, when someone maybe says you don't deserve something you got, there's another log on the fire for you.
And you mentioned The Last Dance. It was funny that you bring that up because I'm thinking about the Michael Jordan, the different scenarios, whether he felt like someone didn't say hi to him, snubbed or whatever. Yeah. George Karl prior to the 1996 NBA Finals, he was the head coach of the Seattle Supersonics, and they saw each other in a restaurant, and Carl didn't come over and say hi, apparently, according to Jordan. I don't know how true that is or not, because I feel like there was some stuff that was fabricated in that documentary, but he felt like that, all right, that's all I needed. I'm good. Yeah. But you know what's funny about that? If Carl came over and said hi, he would probably find something about what Carl said to use it as motivation, because as you mentioned, the great ones find that extra level, that extra need of motivation to get them that much more over the edge. Because in competition, you have to not only have just the fuel and the fire to win, but you have to have something a little extra. Now, as you mentioned, you're not comparing Heston Kerstad to the greatest basketball player of all time, but you do like what he said last night in reference to what he's going to try and accomplish in the Baltimore Orioles organization. No,
my point is, if a great of all time like Michael Jordan, maybe the greatest athlete in any sport we've ever seen, has to find ways to throw logs on the fire to keep that fire stoked up, then you know you're seeing something at a player that's trying to prove himself now at a new level. You're kind of starting over. Now you're coming in as the rookie. You've got to make the big league club now, so you got a brass ring to go after.
What about what he brings to the table? We know that he can just absolutely stroke it from behind the plate. What about his other attributes? He labeled those as well.
I'm going to be an impact player for sure, you know, and I'm bringing a left-handed bat and a lineup that has power to all parts of the field, left, right, and center. And, you know, I also bring a good glove to the outfield, whether it's left or right or wherever they put me, you know, I'll be a solid defender. And then also one of the things that really contributes to helping a team win, which is the most important thing, is my camaraderie that I'm able to develop with my teammates, and the type of teammate I am to them really will be a big part for me in the clubhouse.
You know, you hear him and the way he presents himself, the way he's, because that's a statement right there, how he's selling himself. Hey, I bring power to all parts of the park. I'm a great outfielder. Listen to just his words through all these sound bites you've pulled for this morning, how well he presents himself. I'm certain he did the same thing when sitting down with front office officials from the various teams, and probably a lot of it over a Zoom call like this press conference was last night. He sells himself real well. That's why a team like Baltimore, and I'm sure many more behind them, are disappointed they didn't get him. Baltimore's excited they did get him because they know what kind of person they're getting. That last thing he mentioned about, I can sell myself and what he's to my teammates and the camaraderie. What he's saying is, I can get along with other people in the clubhouse. You know, I know how to go in and not create dissension within the clubhouse and to make friends within the clubhouse. Those are the kind of people you want that can be leaders for you. I think he does a tremendous job of just selling himself on what kind of solid individual he is beyond just being a great player.
As far as his outfielder skills go, he had a few blips his freshman year, as many freshmen do in the outfield, but he's definitely improved on that aspect. And you mentioned the camaraderie within the clubhouse. Did anyone ever hear anything about dissension within the Arkansas locker room involving Heston Kerstad? Now, maybe Dave Van Horn keeps that stuff under wraps and he really keeps it under the blanket and stuff. Maybe we just don't hear anything, but I think it's important that one, if not the best player on your team these last couple years, there didn't seem to be any bad words said by his teammates or rumors you heard about on what he was like in that locker room.
Going to be fun watching his career develop the next few seasons there in Baltimore.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Richard, you got some decent news this past week, man. Baseball, football, basketball, you're having to go over the place. But I want to start with Raheem Rocket Sanders. I know Arkansas fans are really excited about him. Coolest nickname I've heard and seen in a while. What can you tell us about Raheem Sanders, Richard?
Probably the coolest, coolest nickname since, I don't know, Batman maybe? I don't know, but... 6'2", 210-pound receiver, a safety, possibly a linebacker. Arkansas is recruiting him as an athlete, but I tend to think he'll probably end up being a receiver at Arkansas. But had a top five of Arkansas, Oklahoma, Florida State, Missouri, and South Carolina before choosing the Hogs this week, and he was a guy that had a very impressive offer list. Thick kid who's got good speed, who kind of bounces off people when he catches the ball and starts to go to the house. But a very, very good pickup from the standpoint he's from Florida. They're getting back into Florida with Coach Pittman and this staff, and I think they're in good shape with some other guys, too, in that state.
Richard, switching over to basketball. Now, this isn't a high school kid, but it is a grad transfer. Justin Smith out of Indiana commits to the Razorbacks. What do you think he brings to the table as far as Arkansas basketball is concerned?
I think he brings, obviously, maturity, brings athleticism. That's one thing that, really stands out about him, a 48-inch vertical, which is insane.
Same as Jordan's, 6'7". Richard. Same as Andy.
Yeah. I tell you what, you talk to people. I talked to Paul Benincardi and I talked to Van Coleman. Both of these guys have been in the business for a long, long time, and both of them were really high on him. Van Coleman, who's been covering basketball for 43 years. He thinks he's an NBA guy, probably a journeyman type, but can definitely play in the league. So you're adding a guy with athleticism, versatility, not a great outside scorer. He shot like 26% from the three, so he'll probably maybe pop one once in a while from three, but most of the damage he'll do offensively will be in the paint, putbacks from rebounds and driving to the basket. But and he's very good defensively, has the capability to guard several positions.
Yeah. I want to go back to football for just a second and the relationships and how they're building them right now, and particularly with Sanders that we were talking about just a moment ago, Rocket Sanders. Was this a relationship as a holdover from Georgia and that staff and some of the guys that Sam Pittman's brought with him? Or because not being able to bring these guys on campus, you wonder how they're nurturing these relationships along other than Zoom right now. What can you tell us about the background between this staff and this particular recruit with Sanders?
Really not a long relationship. It was started when they got here, and they just gained his trust. And I think just being genuine with him and his mother, one of the things he told me was how he feels like that if he goes to Arkansas that he's going to be taken care of, that they're going to be looking out for him, and that's something that seemed like really resonated with him. He talked to Coach Pittman, talked to Coach Browse, Coach Stepp, Coach Fountain. He was kind of tag-teamed quite a bit as far as the recruiting process, and built a solid relationship with all those coaches, and he just felt extremely comfortable. And like you said, he hasn't visited Arkansas yet, but for them to be able to get that done without a visit is obviously very impressive. It's not unheard of. It does happen, but the majority of the cases are a kid has visited the campus, but obviously not the case with Rocket.
You mentioned getting back into Florida. I think about Alex Collins when I think about Florida recruits and in Bielema's early go here, getting Alex to come up. Who on this staff really is going to have the primary responsibility for working that part of the country?
With Justin Stepp, he recruits all the receivers, whether they're in Florida, Texas, wherever, he's going to recruit the guys at his position. And then you got several of the other assistants assigned to Florida. Scott Fountain, the special teams coach, he's got part of Florida. And looking at my list right now, what are you saying here? Sorry. But then you got Sam Carter. He's got parts of Jacksonville. And then let's see. John Cooper's got Pensacola and Orlando. So you got about four or five coaches in Florida. Jimmy Smith's also in Florida. He's got Tampa all the way down to Miami. So they're gonna continue to recruit that state, and I think you're probably gonna see anywhere from 2 to 3 guys out of the state of Florida on a given, you know, on average.
Yeah, and when you win a guy out of Florida and you win him over and he commits to Arkansas, you're going to be going up against a lot of other SEC schools and all those places you just mentioned. So you're getting a recruit that's a 3 or a 4-star in a lot of cases that is choosing Arkansas over an Auburn or a choosing Arkansas over Florida or you know, some really good quality SEC programs more often than not.
And there's no doubt about that. And the quality of football that, you know, they play in Florida because of the amount of athletes. A lot of these guys are, yeah, I'm not going to say that they're automatically SEC ready, but they're the odds of them coming in and just, you know, being blown away by the competition and the athleticism of college athletes is probably a little less than maybe, you know, a state that doesn't have as good of high school football.
Talking with Richard Davenport on Recruiting Thursday here on The Morning Rush. Richard, so DVH has already scheduled out all 4 in-state schools. Mike Nabors has done the same thing. As far as in-state baseball talent goes, how much is playing in-state schools going to help high school baseball talent within the state of Arkansas?
You know, I think it's like any sport to say if Arkansas plays other in-state programs, I think it creates more interest, kind of creates a buzz. I don't know, you know, it may get a kid who's kind of borderline on baseball to maybe give the sport a try, you know, especially if he thinks that maybe he could play on the next level, you know, and he's maybe marginal in the other sports. So I don't necessarily think it's going to be a huge deal, but I think it definitely helps. And, you know, I think it, you know, it just promotes the sport within the state.
We were talking about this a little earlier as far as Arkansas basketball is concerned. Richard, have you heard anything involving what's going on with Ethan Henderson right now?
Well, evidently there was a situation with him and his ex-girlfriend. I'm just going by what I just read, what Matt Jones posted on our message board. Evidently, he and his ex-girlfriend got into an argument, and other than that, that's all I know. That's all I know because I really haven't looked into it.
Yeah, I think, you know, people are. I've seen some reactions and it's fan reaction. We know that the numbers with Musselman's roster right now are out of bounds, and that he's got one more than the scholarship limit. I don't think it's safe to assume that, well, this automatically takes Henderson out of the equation. I think it's going to be interesting to see, A, how this situation plays out, how Musselman deals with a disciplinary issue, but also, or a potential disciplinary issue, we should say, but also, Richard, how he handles this situation where he's a plus one right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I know fans always get a kind of in an uproar when things, you know, like this, when you're over a scholarship. But we don't know what Isaiah Joe's going to do. I still think he's going to come back. But the numbers will always work themselves out. And let me say this about Ethan. In the time that I covered Ethan, all I can say is he was always, always an impressive, just a considerate young man, yes or no, sir, just a great kid. So I don't know exactly what happened, but I would be surprised if anything bad came out of this situation. I really do. He's a really good kid.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can follow him on Twitter at @ARRecruitingGuy. Joins us every Thursday at 8 o'clock to talk a little recruiting. Richard, we appreciate it, man. You have yourself a good weekend, okay?
All right, guys. Take care.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. When all you do is burgers, they have to be the best. Hadn't heard from this guy in a while. Robbie is in San Diego. Robbie, what's going on, man? How are you this morning?
What's going on, boys? How's everything going?
No, it's good, but I'm sure it's not as good as San Diego.
Well, no, he can't do anything. He's in Cali. He's restricted by everything going on.
Is he in phase one?
No, we're actually in phase three in San Diego. Bars open up, I think, tomorrow. Restaurants opened up at about, 25-30% capacity. Gyms open Monday. It's all kind of coming back.
Well, that's about where we're at.
But, but it's still San Diego. It's 70 degrees year-round, so it's not bad.
Yeah. You suck.
Hey, guys. So,
you suck.
I know. Hey, so at the end of the day, I think yesterday was probably one of the greatest days in Razorback baseball history, because if you look at it, having a guy go number two overall screams volumes for our program. Not only that, but the things that Heston Kirsten had to say after he got drafted, talking about Dave Van Horn and the Arkansas program, that's like recruiting on steroids without having to spend a single dollar. So, it's to have that kind of exposure and to have a kid coming from out of state to come to Arkansas to play and have the success that he had, I think it just opens up a pipeline for even greater recruiting for West Texas, Texas overall. And it's going to make kids want to come to Fayetteville even more so as they want to right now. Van Horn's got a great problem right now. He's got too many players. Got to figure out the roster. I think Arkansas baseball is in great shape. So we'll see what happens with day two. I think Casey Martin will get drafted at some point, but it's kind of a disappointment for him, considering that if you look before January, it was around January 2019, a lot of the MLB projections had him going number one overall for the 2020 draft. I think he's just going to have to figure it out in pro ball, how to hit a curveball and how to cut down some of those errors. And I think he's got the talent to play Major League Baseball, every day. But it's just, you just got to see what happens. What are your thoughts?
I remember seeing, I don't remember if it was D1 Baseball, by the way, Robbie, appreciate the call. So I remember, I think it was D1 Baseball, Tommy, that at one point, as Robbie mentioned, had Casey Martin as the number one prospect in the 2020 class. Unfortunately, he's not going to be drafted. He wasn't drafted in the first round last night. But as Robbie mentioned, if the guy starts hitting the curveball like we saw him do his freshman year, if the guy kind of slows down the errors a little bit and kind of lets those go by the wayside, he's going to have a successful career at the next level.
I think so, and I agree with Robbie that he does get his name called before five rounds are complete. Is he at a point where, obviously you take him back, because I think he'd be one of your best players if you got him back, but we know how good the SEC is, and those pitchers have those scouting reports. But would another year here at Arkansas get him past problems with a breaking ball and make him a first rounder? Would he rather come back and play a year at Arkansas or be a fourth or fifth rounder right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we again have seen the climb of Kerstad and other players in their draft status. Would he be better off even in the fourth or fifth round coming back and being a first rounder? Or is there just too much risk with that?
I think there's too much risk compared to where he was slated originally, not out of high school, but to where he's gone. That's my opinion. I don't know what Casey's thoughts are on that, but that's my opinion.
I think there's like a 0% chance he's a Razorback again.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, let's get into it. It is a Trivia Thursday. Jenkins has got some good questions lined up for this edition.
The toughest question.
What is going on?
The easiest answer.
Trivia! Trivia!
Pick your category.
Light on medical knowledge, heavy on Broadway trivia?
Ty or Tommy?
Fight!
It's time for Trivia Thursday.
Last week, we did fast food trivia, and much to my chagrin, I ended up losing because
I
forgot.
You thought you had me boxed in.
I did. Tommy's been on the road for 20-plus years doing sales, so I forget that he's been to every fast food establishment on the face of the earth.
It was pretty well a beatdown last week.
It wasn't as long as he smoked you last week.
It was bad. We can end it now.
No. 13 to 5, I think, was the final.
All right, let's not get out of hand.
We gave him one to get to 5.
Let's not get out of hand. Tommy's up 3-2 in our competition.
You always want to talk truth. I just wanted to speak.
13 to 5 was not the that's not
I
want, the
don't
truth.
Want to let the I think it was let the facts stand in the way of a good story.
I think it was 13 to 5.
Jenkins, just get this edition going.
All right, so gentlemen, high and tight in your chairs. We've got
what is the topic?
This is MLB baseball food trivia.
Ooh.
So this is food that's available in concession stands across Major League Baseball towns. So I'm going to read
this is the one you pick? Do you have some knowledge here?
No, I don't, but we just had the MLB draft, so I'm thinking it's
So what's going to happen? I'm going to read you a description of a food item at the concession stand. You tell me the team that it is associated with. Make sense?
Let's go.
All right. The food is called the closer. The closer is not for the faint of heart. It's a triple-decker grilled cheese sandwich stuffed with 9 different cheeses and adorned with candied bacon. Excuse me. Can you get this at the Pittsburgh Pirates, St. Louis Cardinals, or the Philadelphia Phillies?
I'm going to go Pittsburgh Pirates.
That would be correct.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Because I know it's insane. I've been to St. Louis. I've never been to Pittsburgh. I was thinking you're going to tell me Milwaukee because they're known for cheese. You just said Milwaukee. I'd have jumped all over that.
The Scoop Banana Split.
Ooh.
The powers that be in this stadium decided that the mini helmet full of soft serve wasn't good enough for their fans. Instead, they chose to offer a full-size batting helmet filled with 12 scoops of ice cream, several bananas, whipped cream, strawberry sauce, chocolate drizzle, and cherries in what has to be the biggest confectionery treat in the Major League Baseball. Can you get this at Seattle, the Chicago White Sox, or the Cincinnati Reds?
Cincinnati Reds.
That is incorrect.
White Sox?
White Sox is correct.
All right.
This next one is called the Bacon Flight. We've got barbecue spice, brown sugar glazed, black pepper, and jalapeno.
Oh.
You can order a flight of bacon at this stadium. Thick sticks of flavored goodness that'll elevate your spirits even as the opposing team raises a score. Can you get this at the Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox, or the Atlanta Braves?
Braves.
Incorrect.
Cubs.
Incorrect. White Sox.
I didn't think White Sox would. I went with because I didn't think White Sox would be the answer twice.
Well, they got two things that I want.
Yeah, so now
there.
I want to. Do we brave? Would you brave to go to that side of Chicago to a White Sox game to get a flight of bacon and a batting helmet full of ice cream?
Chicken,
yes, I will.
Chicken and a waffle cone. Mm. At this stadium, you can get a waffle cone filled with mashed potatoes, topped with fried chicken nuggets, and drizzled with honey mustard. How are your boys' stomachs doing right now? Can you get this at the Texas Rangers, Houston Astros, or the KC Royals?
Houston Astros.
That is correct, yeah. Tommy.
That's a good guess.
The Mac Bat.
Ooh.
If you're taking it in a game here, you can grab one of these cones filled with macaroni and cheese, topped with your choice of chili, bacon, or tomatoes. Nobody's going to blame you for ordering one of each. Can you get this at Tampa Bay, the Miami Marlins, or the New York Mets?
We'll go Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay is correct.
That's a great guess.
It's a great guess. You're up 3-1. The Murphadilla. This is a shredded cheese with pico.
Philadelphia.
No, that's not one of the choices.
Oh.
Shredded cheese, pico de gallo, beef brisket, and more fitted into a 24-inch quesadilla and laid to rest on a bed of Doritos. Can you get this at the LA Angels, Arizona Diamondbacks, or the Texas Rangers?
Diamondbacks?
Diamondbacks is incorrect. You want
Texas Rangers.
Texas Rangers is correct.
It's correct. Oh, well. A 24-inch quesadilla.
That's a big one.
With brisket.
Yep.
And I get Doritos.
On a bed of Doritos. When it's laid to rest.
When do the Rangers open? I'm there opening day.
We need to be there for that. The Churro Dog. This decadent treat is available at the concession stands during this team's games. It's a churro inside of a donut topped with ice cream and chocolate sauce. The Arizona Diamondbacks, St. Louis Cardinals, or the Minnesota Twins?
Twins.
Incorrect.
What was St. Louis and who else?
Arizona.
Arizona.
Arizona's correct.
It's hot. It's ice. You need ice cream. It's an indoor stadium. I've been to that stadium.
Tommy, you know what the score is? 5-1.
I didn't hear you. What is that?
5-1.
Okay. Go
ahead. Did you hear it that time?
Yeah.
Okay. The D-Bat Dog. An 18-inch long corn dog stuffed with jalapenos, cheddar, and most importantly,
sounds like a state
bacon.
Fair. Sounds like a
and
state
you can
fair.
Get the D-Bat Dog anywhere at the Arizona Diamondback Stadium, Kansas City Royals, or the Miami Marlins.
I don't remember that being at Kauffman, but
I don't either.
Ty, you need to get something here.
Kauffman Stadium, Kansas City.
That is incorrect.
I remember.
Boss man?
Arizona.
That is correct.
God. Just a massacre.
What has happened to you, Ty?
I don't know. I started.
You mouthwatered when I said mac and cheese earlier, so here's another one. This is called the Stoogies Mac and Cheese Dog. At this stadium, the mac and cheese dog is definitely a decadent. It is a sausage split down the middle, piled high with macaroni and cheese and lump crab meat, and dusted with Old Bay seasoning.
Ooh.
Can you get this at Yankee Stadium, the Boston Red Sox, or the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Yankee.
Incorrect.
Boston.
Incorrect. Pittsburgh. Oh,
Pittsburgh. Interesting.
I said Boston because of the crab meat, you know?
I wonder if Phil would actually know these delectable items if they're Pittsburgh related. Or... Yeah,
I'm going to bring this up later. I'm going to keep hold of this because he'll know these, I'm sure. Brunch Bloody Mary. Only available during day games. The Brunch Bloody Mary is a portable breakfast. It's a regular Bloody Mary that comes with sausage, egg, chicken, and waffles, donuts, and a bacon on a skewer.
Wow.
All that you're missing is some aspirin and maybe some Tums.
Are you a Bloody Mary guy?
No, I'm not really a
okay,
Bloody
Mary. I feel like that's
not
the most
a tomato juice
that's
guy.
The most controversial yeah. alcoholic drink out there.
I'll drink one, but it's not my favorite.
Can you get this at Tampa Bay or Miami or the Arkansas Travelers?
Miami.
Miami's incorrect.
God.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay is correct. Last one. Toasted grasshoppers.
Got to be KBOE.
Actually, it's not. It's in Major League Baseball. To be precise, this Mexican treat is exactly what it sounds like. A bunch of grasshoppers cooked and then dusted with chili lime salt for a crunchy snack that is also high on protein. Can you get this at the Seattle Mariners, ooh, Atlanta Braves, or the Houston Astros?
It's killed the appetite right here.
You want me to do another one?
No. I want to know where
you're smoking, Ty, right now. Yeah,
what is it? What is
Seattle, Atlanta, or Houston?
Atlanta.
Incorrect.
I want to say Houston because you said it was a
man.
It was a Mexican delicacy,
right?
But my gut says to say Seattle, so I'm gonna go with Seattle.
Your gut is always correct.
All right.
Seattle. Last one. We'll save that
it's
for another
8
day.
8-1. Wow, just an
my
absolute
God,
abysmal performance.
Hey, on him.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.